are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, does Donald Trump have Parkinson's? We may never know now that Dr. Oz is not giving up the ghost. But meanwhile, Republican lawmakers clearly think he's got leprosy. Trump also goes policy today because he's being a good daddy. A trove of Colin Powell emails hacked and leaked, ranging from Benghazi to Iraq to Clinton's emails. Also in California, state law now provides overtime for those poor, coddled farm workers. Military reports, climate change still a threat, even though August and July were the hottest months on record ever. More leaked documents. The John Doe investigation involving Scott Walker. These documents were supposed to be destroyed per the state Supreme Court, who were all Walker appointees. But the documents are now in the hands of reporters. Student debt, Social Security, what's next for Democrats to support that we're going to be happy about? Here's a hint.
Public option.
And Bernie Sanders joins the ACLU in calling for Edward Snowden to be able to come back to this country. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, of course, we will get to that that part where we play the clip where Sean Hannity brags about his brown belt. There's a special martial arts, that they have at Fox News. It's an intra martial arts. Sometimes you'll hear that people combine martial arts and develop new ones. They have that one, that Brazilian one, sort of involves like the tango and also some type of jujitsu, I think. And then they have the Krav Maga, which is that special Israeli martial arts. And then there's one from Fox News, which involves sexually harassing women and hosts of the show. But we will let him tell that story as it is. I was on Chris Hayes' program last night. We would play the audio, but it was largely what we had talked about yesterday in terms of Mike Pence and David Duke. So if you are wondering why I am so clean-shaven today, that is why. Kelly was wondering. It's Wednesday and Sam's clean-shaven. Why is that? That's weird. He was clean shaven on Monday, too. I've had an outbreak of shaving. And what enables me to go on that type of shaving bender? Honestly, it's disgusting. It's only Wednesday, and I've already shaven twice this week. You got to be very careful, folks, because this is how you develop a habit. But I have to say, it makes it much easier to have my Harry's shaver. Harry's makes just one razor with all you need for a close, comfortable shave. Five German crafted blades, flex hinge, the lubricating strip so your face is smooth, quality guaranteed, full refund if you're not happy. Look, I've talked about Harry's so many times. You know that not only do I love Harry's, my son thinks he loves Harry's. I mean, he likes the name of the razor. But let's be honest, he's 3 and a half. He should not be playing with razors. He just plays with a handle. But everybody now in this office is officially a Harry's user. Sometimes what we do, like on a Tuesday night for just to you know, for employees, we all just shave each other down. Instead of, that way I don't have to pay for like an employee dinner or anything like that. We just do it that way. Factory direct prices, cut out the middleman, no upcharges, half the price of the leading brand. Harry's starter set is called the Truman. It's a great option for new customers and an amazing deal. Honestly, this is no joke. It's $15. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors. Plus, there's a special offer for fans of this show. If you have never tried Harry's before, Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with the promo code MAJORITYREPORT. Go to harrys.com right now. Look for the Truman set. That's Harry's, HARRYS.com. Enter code MAJORITYREPORT at checkout. Get $5 off and help support the show. Stop compromising. Give Harry's a try today. So I think what we'll do is throughout the show, I mean, we have so many leaked documents today. I think throughout the show, I'm going to read an email or at least segments from an email. BuzzFeed apparently got them from a place called DC Leaks, which has been reported, but it's not confirmed. I'm just quoting this from BuzzFeed, that it is a an entity associated with the Russians. Who knows? But that's what it's been reported. We know if that's the case. I don't know. I mean, I don't understand like why Colin Powell's emails would necessarily be the ones that you'd want to leak if you're from Russia. But maybe they hack into everybody's and they just find ones that they think are interesting and then they send those out. Here's Colin Powell on Benghazi. And apparently he was writing to Condi Rice. It's nice that they're still friends. They get together, they talk about that one time that supposedly they got lied to and led the country into war and hundreds of thousands of people get killed over a couple of glasses of wine. And you think I'm making up that wine part? No. Here is an email from Colin Powell to Condi Rice, 2015, about Benghazi. Benghazi is a stupid witch hunt. Basic fault falls on a courageous ambassador who thought. It's nice to know he doesn't spend a lot of time proofreading himself. Who thought Libyans now love me and I am okay in this very vulnerable place. It's Powell writing to Condoleezza Rice. But blame also rests on his leaders and supports back here. Pat Kennedy, Intel community, DS, and yes, HRC. Completely agree, Rice responds, adding, let me know when you're in town, and we'll have that glass of wine, in parens, or two. In other words, let's get effed up. I mean, remember that time? Remember that time? You went to the UN and you were talking about those mobile weapons labs, mass destruction. And he just goes, yeah, that bottle of anthrax. That's what it's like. That's what happens on the second glass of wine. Do you love books but find you never have the time to read? Well, welcome to Matt Lek's world. Audible.com has the perfect solution. Get audiobooks and listen to those books you've been meaning to read while on the go. You can do it at the gym, on your commute. Audible.com has audiobooks from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine, newspaper publishers, and business information providers. Their app is free. It works on iPhones, iPad, Android, Windows Phone. Unclear about the Newton, if you still have one of those. You can also download and listen on your Kindle Fire and over 500 MP3 players. And unlike a streaming or rental service with Audible, you own your books. So you can access your books anytime, anywhere, right from your smartphone. Audible.com also has, and this is actually pretty amazing, the Great Listen Guarantee. If you decide you don't like the book you chose, no worries. You can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title. Anytime, no questions asked. Matt, what is the latest, the most recent Audible book on tape? Not book on tape. You know.
Digital audiobook.
Audiobook.
The Black Banners by Ali Soufan. He was the FBI investigator into 9/11. A really good audiobook. I highly recommend it. I read it on the anniversary.
He came out very strongly against the torture program.
Yep, exactly.
And was that, how many books did you read on 9/11? Just one?
I just listened to that one, yep.
Okay, well, so slow day for you. And just for listeners, Audible.com is offering a free 30-day trial membership. Go to Audible.com Majority today to start your free trial. Again, show your support for the Majority Report. Get a 30-day free trial at Audible.com/Majority. This is a nice one as they get, as Condi and Colin Powell get wasted. So, like I said, this is from DCLeaks.com, which apparently gave it to BuzzFeed. So, in 2015, Powell initiates an email exchange with Condi Rice. And this comes in the wake of Bob Woodward, disputing Rumsfeld in saying that when Rumsfeld came out and said, and I guess Rumsfeld was what? He was promoting his new what? His cookbook or something? What did he come out of the woodwork for in 2015? He was promoting something. His book, I don't know, some type of like travel show. I don't know what he was doing. Barbecue?
A book of quotes, I think it might have been.
Some type of cook, who knows? Who knows what it was? Was the title of the book, I Can't Believe I'm Not in Jail? So Rumsfeld came out, apparently gave some interviews.
Rumsfeld's
saying,
rules, I believe.
Oh, there you go.
Leadership, lessons, business, politics, war, and life.
Right. It's too bad it wasn't like a barbecue cookbook. So Rumsfeld came out and was saying that he had always been skeptical of creating a democracy in Iraq. And so Powell writes about Woodward's comments. Maybe Woodward says that, no, they really had thought they were going to create a democracy. I don't know. I mean, who knows what Woodward, I don't think terribly highly of Bob Woodward either, frankly. You heard about that story. I got chastised, right, at that book talk by his partner. Did you hear that? We did a reading. I was asked to introduce people for a reading of the movie All the President's Men. And Woodward was not there. Bernstein was there. This was back in like 2006, maybe. And so I went up and I said, it's fitting that Bob Woodward's not here because that Bob Woodward is not here anywhere. He's now just sticking his thumb in the wind and trying to make money selling books. And so everybody came up to sit down. There was a lot of top flight actors, I think, in that. And Carl Bernstein was playing a role in the reading. And he stopped the reading. It went about a couple of sentences and he stopped it. And he said, I have to respond to what that man said. And I was sitting at the audience at the time with Nikki. And he said, that's completely basic. Bob Woodward's a great guy. It's disgusting what he said. It made it into the Post that I got chastised. We didn't stay. The food wasn't very good. So here's Colin Powell. First, we didn't invade Iraq to bring democracy. It's weird, the idea that these guys would be talking about this, right, back and forth in some way. Like, they had never, it's never come up.
Yeah.
It's weird. First, we didn't invade Iraq to bring democracy. But once we overthrew Saddam, we had a view of what should follow. Rice responded, I'm sorry. So I guess this is Rice responded. If Don and the Pentagon had done their job after claiming the rights to lead post-war rebuilding, things might have turned out differently. Don should just stop talking, she added. He put his foot in his mouth every time. Powell replied by seconding Rice's critique, saying the boys in the band were brain dead. Doug and Paul, he's talking about Fife, Doug Fife and Paul Wolfowitz, claims again, they had a plan. Turn Iraq and our army over to Shalabi and leave, Powell wrote. 43 knew what had to be done. That's George Herbert Walker Bush. Specifically rejected Shalabi crowd, and as you say, the boys in the band were brain dead. 43 is
W.
Yeah,
43
is... Oh,
W.
Wow. Wow. So I guess he specifically rejected Shalabi, even though that's why they invaded. It's unbelievable. It's almost as if they wrote that with an eye to, like, I think this one will go in my archives. I'm a little skeptical about it, to be honest with you. But it's been leaked. Maybe Powell put it out there. Because one of them is knocking... One talks about why Clinton can't tie him to the whole email thing. And then another is basically saying that Donald Trump is racist and his supporters are racist. I'm totally shocked by that. He's so sensitive, Colin Powell. And remember when he came out and he bravely held that conference to talk about Donald Trump? And he said, Donald Trump is racist. This guy should not be president. And I'm going to stake my career. Oh, wait a second. No, I'm sorry. I was thinking of a completely imaginary figure named Colin Powell, who's one of our greatest statesmen, who has done crap except for release, have his emails leaked. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I got confused between this sort of vaguely soft-spoken guy and someone who actually exhibited some measure at one point. I mean, how many times has Colin Powell had now to sort of stand up and stop something horrible from happening? You know, how many times in your lifetime do you get as a human being to actually my actions could actually have a significant impact on the outcome of history and perhaps hundreds of thousands or millions of people's lives. How many opportunities do you get to do that? And how many opportunities do you get to just sort of say, go with the flow and still be considered one of America's greatest statesmen? You know, like, I get it. You know, most people don't rise to that occasion, and probably with a decent amount of good reason. But I just don't think that you should still be able to, like, be considered one of America's greatest statesmen. And having basically just, I punt a lot. That's how I became one of America's greatest statesmen. I'm a great punter. Nevertheless, Colin Powell puts his pants on one leg at a time. And I bet he does with his underwear as well.
Pro.
Yep. Total, you wear underwear every day. At least most of us do. Some people go, what do they call it? Bareback?
No, they do not call it that. It's interesting.
What is it you
What's
call
going
it
on go? With you?
When you go?
Commando.
Commando.
Bareback is something else.
But that's all right. Well, it's time to try something better. MeUndies has created the world's most comfortable underwear with a blend of fabric that is 3 times softer than cotton. I know, this is when Matt calls. This is like Matt's, like, this is like a Matt's day.
Modal.
He was on Modal from day one. MeUndies is made from Modal. It's a fabric that's 3 times softer than cotton, has tons of colors and patterns from classic to bold and adventurous. I honestly, like, I have, I think, probably now 5 pairs of MeUndies. 3 are the bold, and I get intimidated by the other ones, to be honest with you. Like, I know nobody sees them, but it's very hard for me to put them on. Like, I get a rush. I just am not, I'm not bold and adventurous. I just like the classic. Like, give me just, like, black, blue, whatever it is. I don't want patterns on there. I still wear them. They're very comfortable. Once I have them on, I forget. But it does mess with me for the first part of the day. So I got to stay. But if you're one of those people who like adventurous ones, then you do it.
That's so weird that... It's so weird that you would want to wear the same thing, plain, same thing for
I know,
decades
it's completely out of character for me.
And decades.
Totally out of character for me. Great. Totally. But what it does tell me is that this really can affect your mood. So if you're somebody who wants exciting underwear, you do it. All orders in the U.S. and Canada ship for free. If you don't love your first pair, you will. But if you don't, MeUndies will pay you back, and you can keep it for free. No questions asked. I tried my first pair, passed the test. And like I say, and I now have 6 pairs of underwear. You can also do a monthly subscription. For a limited time, MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first order at MeUndies.com/majority. If you don't love your first pair, it's free. You have no excuse not to try my favorite underwear brand. Make sure you go to MeUndies.com/majority to get 20% off your first order. Use my link so they know we sent you. MeUndies.com/majority. All right, let's get to this Walker documents. This is pretty crazy stuff. And there hasn't been much. It's just been leaked. And I don't, for the life of me, I don't know if it's because now we've moved into a stage where journalists have are advertising making the public aware that they have secure sort of, what do they call that? Not Dropbox, but there's a couple of different technologies now that are being used to get information to journalists. Even at the bottom of this BuzzFeed stuff, people leave their encrypted, I don't know what it is. I don't know it enough, to be honest with you. But because between these Powell things, obviously, those DNC. Oh, here's another one from, I'll read that one in a bit. It's really the most disturbing part about the Colin Powell exchange. 2 people talking about reading Peggy Noonan. That, I think, is like... That's super disturbing to me. And not like saying, what's wrong with that woman? So Ed Pilkington, we've had him on from the Guardian paper. You'll recall that there was a big investigation following the recall attempts in 2012 of Scott Walker in Wisconsin. There was a big investigation called the John Doe investigation. And it involved numerous, I think, charges, or I should say accusations or claims, that people in Walker's office and a county supervisor, were basically campaigning with state funds and on state time. And prosecutors in at least one county, perhaps more, were investigating this stuff. The five Wisconsin prosecutors, they were looking into this campaign finance violation by the campaign committee for Scott Walker, and it became obviously a big political hot potato. In 2015, the beginning of the year, I think it was, the state Supreme Court halted the investigation, saying the prosecutors had misunderstood campaign finance law and as a result had picked on people and groups wholly innocent of any wrongdoing. So the court not only ordered all the evidence under seal, but it also ordered all of the evidence assembled by the prosecutors to be destroyed. And what's interesting about this is that the, let's just talk about a little bit what's in the documents. They're 1,500 pages. Nobody's clear, or it's not clear from this piece, as to who kept these documents and then ultimately leaked them. But digital file. Among the documents are court filings from the case, as well as hundreds of pages of email exchanges obtained by the prosecutors under subpoena. The emails involve conversations concerning Walker, his top aides, conservative lobbyists, leading Republican figures such as Karl Rove and the chair of the National Republican Committee, Reince Priebus. Trump also appears in the files, making a donation of $15,000 following a personal visit from Walker to the Republican nominee's Fifth Avenue headquarters. Home Depot co-founder Ken Langone is in the emails. Hedge fund manager Paul Singer. Sheldon Adelson. Carl Icahn. I got $1 million from John Maynard today, said Walker, referring to the billionaire owner of the home improvement chain Menards. Menards, is that what it is?
Menards, yeah.
Menards. This is interesting. Among the new material contained in the documents are donations amounting to $750,000 to a third-party group closely aligned to Walker from the owner of NL Industries, a company that historically produced lead paint. Huh. Wow, that was very generous of them. Within the same time frame as the donations, the Republican-controlled legislature passed new laws making it much more difficult for victims of lead paint poisoning to sue NL Industries and other former lead paint manufacturers. Wow, that's quite a coincidence.
I think it would be cynical to imply that it's anything else.
It's a coincidence. Fortunately, those laws were later overturned in the federal courts. Guess NL Industries didn't send, coincidentally, a donation to Barack Obama.
It's called pay to play for a reason.
The John Doe files also provide new insight into the extensive effort made by allies of Scott Walker to help a conservative member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, David Prosser, hang on to his seat in a 2011 reelection. I'm going to remind you, it was that same Wisconsin Supreme Court which ordered these documents destroyed. A network of like-minded groups and campaigners channeled $3.5 million in undisclosed corporate funds to pay for TV and radio ads backing the judge. The judge won. And here's a funny story. In 2015, Judge Prosser refused to recuse himself from a case in which the Supreme Court sat in judgment over the John Doe investigation. It's so funny how Wisconsin's such a small state, you keep bumping into people you know. Despite the fact that the investigation focused on precisely the same network of lobbying groups and donors that had helped him hang on to his seat. Why would there be a conflict of interest there? Like I say, Wisconsin's a small state. The judge joined a majority of four conservative justices who voted to terminate the investigation and destroy all the documents now leaked to the Guardian paper. I think that's probably just the start of those. They're going through the documents right now. Maybe they were concerned that other people, maybe the Guardian. I mean, I'm surprised like the Guardian didn't come out with a bigger story.
Yeah.
But my guess is somebody got worried that they were leaked and or the leak went to other people, other outlets, and they're rushing to print it. But that's a big deal.
And in no way surprising.
And in no way surprising. Folks, a lot of you were waiting with bated breath to find out Donald Trump's medical records. And you were anticipating that today he would go on the Dr. Oz show. The Dr. Oz show is a show on television hosted by a doctor who apparently has a reputation of promoting medical solutions to medical problems that a lot of people think are quackery. I know this is going to come as a shock to you that Donald Trump would go on a, what some call, quackery show to present his medical records. The idea was this. Donald Trump is going to go to an unnamed doctor who is going to do a physical on him. He is then going to maybe or maybe not look at the results and then give them to Dr. Oz so that he can be surprised or pretend to be surprised by the results on Dr. Oz's television show. Well, it turns out that something went awry. Now, I mean, who knows what it could be? Maybe Dr. Oz said, hey, I don't want you to look at it before you give it to me. And Donald Trump says, no way. I'm not going to do that because maybe people will see that it writes that I have, I don't know, hair plugs. Or I don't know. I'm just guessing. Who knows? Maybe.
I'm a sociopath. I have various psychological disorders. I guess that isn't in a medical.
Yeah, who knows? But the Trump campaign said this morning, put out a press release, both Dr. Oz and the release of medical records have been planned for a while and are separate. The info will be released, in quotations, shortly, but is not the focus of the Dr. Oz appearance. That focus is health in general, family, and more conversation generally about well-being, not an opportunity to review lab results and get into the weeds on Mr. Trump's medical history.
Well-being's great. Who doesn't love well-being? I'm big time into well-being.
Family?
Family, well-being, daughters, hot ones.
Energy and being active are some topics that could come up. And then, of course, they were asked, when should we expect his medical records? Not today. But soon.
They put the word shortly in quotes.
I don't know if they did or this is some type of. Well, yeah, soon. Maybe soon was taken from.
They put soon in quotes.
Maybe Jennifer Jacobs, the blue. Well, they probably should have. What does that mean? Soon. You know, we're all just a speck of time.
There's all sorts of time scales you could talk about here.
Time's a relative concept. The Hindus think it's cyclical. Can I get a massage?
Let's play this clip of Donald Trump announcing his family leave plan. You know, Donald Trump is all about policy. And if there's one thing that people have associated with Donald Trump's campaign, it's the idea of family leave and helping out the American worker But Donald Trump's headed into the weeds with this one, folks. And basically, the plan seems to be, I'm only going to offer family leave for women. And what we're going to do is we're going to just cut it out of funding for unemployment insurance. And so suck on that for a bit. But here's how he came to realize that he needed to put out a family leave plan.
Tonight, I'm going to roll out a plan to help our mothers and our families get affordable, quality child care for their children. And my daughter, Ivanka, is going to be involved. She is the one that has been pushing for it so hard. Daddy, Daddy, we have to do this. And it's true. She's very smart and she's right.
Super creepy.
At the policy briefing, what you should do, Mr. Trump, is force to basically say that your daughter terrorized you into coming up with a family medical leave plan.
You know,
that's the approach.
Well, here's the awkward thing, is that the one time he had policy advisors all assembled in a room, all of them had to pitch their proposals in the same way.
Daddy, Daddy,
yes,
please.
Yes, it was very awkward. It was very, very awkward, but that's the way he liked
Daddy,
it to do.
Daddy, could you get rid of the Volcker rule?
They were. That's right.
Yes.
Who's got something on the economy?
Say,
well, Daddy,
Daddy,
I think that maybe you should come out in favor of the minimum wage.
So we messed up, man. Like, Daddy, Daddy, national health insurance?
Yes.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Well, if you're going to ask so nicely. Yeah. All right, yeah. So let's just give you a brief breakdown. Donald Trump has said that Hillary Clinton has not offered a policy on this, and which I think 90% of any sentient human beings who have been aware know that it's a complete lie. No, do you think? Yeah, I know. That's true. Most people don't realize. They don't even check. But, like, literally, if you took out Hillary Clinton's family leave plan, like, it's like the bedrock, like, her entire campaign would fall down. Like, that was the bedrock of it. In fact, it's conceivable that she actually outlined her plan for family leave before he entered the race. Maybe it's close. Maybe it was just maybe around the same month that he entered the race. She had already had hers written up and put on a website. She probably wrote about it in her books years ago. Yeah, no, it was the spring of 2015. Even before she announced her president, her candidacy, she had proposed it. Wow. So Trump doesn't offer leave for fathers, but it would guarantee 6 weeks of paid maternity leave in the form of unemployment insurance, which is a capped at a percentage of income in many states. Clinton plan guarantees 12 weeks of family paid leave for mothers and fathers with at least 2/3 of their salary. It would be paid for by raising taxes on the wealthy. Cost of child care. For Trump, working parents and parents who stay at home to care for children can deduct the costs on their taxes via the earned income tax credit. The campaign estimates that middle-class families could receive a $1,200 tax break. Now, if you're low income, well, you're SOL because you're not paying probably federal income taxes and such that a tax credit wouldn't mean anything to you. But he also proposes a dependent care savings account that would allow the accumulation of funds and are tax deductible and appreciate tax free. Dependent care accounts already exist but must be used by the end of the year and only available through an employer. So all that extra money you low-income people have at the end of the year, you can stick that into an account that will accrue tax-free. Clinton wants to cap child care costs at 10% of a family's income. To do that, she rely on tax cuts or state block grants for the government to subsidize costs exceeding 10%. So there you have that. Those are the two plans. But still, you have Republicans freaking out because he's crossed the Rubicon on some level and said, like, government should get involved in the business of helping with paid family leave and child care. So in that sense, philosophically, it seems like the Republican Party has capitulated. I don't like their plan. It's bad. But as long as we're all on the same page, that philosophically, this is what should happen. We should get Walter Block on here. I'm curious as to what he thinks about that.
There's a limit to how much unemployment insurance you can use. So if you were to use 6 weeks of it, which it's capped at like $420 in New York State, which for a lot of people would be a significant hit.
Yeah.
If you did lose your job, you would already be 6 weeks deep into, you would lose.
Yes, but money. Kelly, let's be honest. I mean, if you've lost your job within the past year, do you really think morally you are should be allowed to have a child?
No.
Okay. So there you go. I mean, come on.
What's the matter with you people? Still out breeding? It's disgusting.
I mean, honestly. I'm really desperately trying not to start crapping on people who are going off on the, you know, like I'm like watching, like, does Hillary have Parkinson's?
AIDS.
It's just unbelievable to me. So what some people are doing, I'm not going to do it, but some people should be embarrassed. I want to just talk about this one last thing too. This the story on the sugar industry, because I teased it yesterday. It's really telling. And again, now in our libertarian world, something like this wouldn't be a problem. Or maybe the problem is that government is involved in all. Maybe the problem is just that we have written words, and that leads to abuse in some fashion. But apparently, there was a piece published Monday in the JAMA Internal Medicine. JAMA Internal Medicine Journal, American Medical Something Association, Internal Medicine. And it was written by a researcher at the University of California that suggested five decades of research into the role of nutrition in heart disease, including many of today's dietary recommendations, have been largely shaped by the sugar industry out of the goodness of their heart. The Sugar Research Foundation, which today is known as the Sugar Association, paid three Harvard scientists the equivalent of about $50,000 in today's dollars to publish a 1967 review of research on sugar, fat, and heart disease. The studies used in the review were handpicked by the Sugar Group. The article, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, minimized the link between sugar and heart health and cast aspersions on the role of saturated fat. The scientists and the sugar executives with whom they collaborated are no longer alive. Listen to this. One of the scientists who was paid by the sugar industry was D. Mark Hegsted, who went on to become the head of nutrition at the United States Department of Agriculture. In 1977, he helped draft the forerunner to the federal government's dietary guidelines. Another was the chairman of Harvard's nutrition department. If only we didn't have government, then Harvard wouldn't exist, and people wouldn't take pronouncements from Harvard professors in medical journals seriously. But now people can use the marketplace by deciding they're going to punish all of those dead people and the sugar industry by not eating sugar in the amounts that they did over the past 50 years. Right? Isn't that how it's supposed to work in the libertarian world? Last year, an article in the New York Times revealed that Coke provided millions of dollars in funding to researchers who sought to play down the link between sugary drinks and obesity. When this thing was published in 1967, medical journals did not typically require researchers to disclose funding sources. The industry should have exercised greater transparency in all of its research activities, the Sugar Association statement said. We should have been a little bit more transparent. You know, the and then, of course, what happened is we went through that long period where people ate low-fat, high-sugary foods, right? Which apparently turns out to be not so healthy for you. But I was just paid that by the health lobby. Dr. Walter Willett, chairman of the nutrition department at the Harvard School of Public Health, said that the academic conflict of interest rules had changed significantly since the 60s, but that the industry papers were a reminder of, quote, why research should be supported by public funding rather than depending on industry funding. You know, yesterday I recorded an interview. I'll probably save it for the first week of October. But it was an interview with the filmmaker of Starve the Beast, who has done a documentary. And if you're in New York, it's in New York, I think, right now. It is about the defunding of about four or five of some of the most largest or the some of the largest public state universities in the country. UNC, UVA, University of Wisconsin, UT, and University of Texas. And it really does break down, doesn't even get to the implications of tuition rising at these public schools and driving up the cost in the private sector. It just outlines how the right wing is going about defunding public education. And I if you have the opportunity to see the movie, go see it. We'll do the interview. We'll release it in a couple of weeks probably. But it's just another reason why we need public funding of things that are important to the public. I mean, that's tomorrow. Maybe I'll talk a little bit or in the coming days about the attack on national parks. I keep I listen to a lot of right wing radio, and I keep hearing guys come on. Like I listen to the John Batchelor show in New York, and it's actually an interesting show. And he always is bringing people on from like the American Enterprise Institute or the Heritage Foundation as if they're serious think tank people. And they have a serious conversation about it. But it's for some reason I just hear more and more often people coming on and talking about the problems of the national parks. They just can't. Government is hamstringing the national parks. And it's causing a destruction of the parks themselves, which I think there is, you know, there is an argument that perhaps we need to do something to limit the use of some of these parks because they're getting overrun. But it's the same argument that there was about the Chicago meters, parking meters. Chicago did not have the ability to raise or the political will or the political capacity to raise the cost of their parking meters in downtown Chicago. So instead what they did is they sold it. And I can't remember to whom they sold it. I want to say it was like maybe like Goldman Sachs or somebody like that. I can't remember. But they sold it to a private entity. All the revenue for the next, I don't know, 30 years or something. And that private entity then rose the prices. And now Chicago doesn't have control over its parking policies anywhere and is not getting that revenue. So, I mean, if there's got to be a fix with our policies involving the national parks, then it's either going to happen because Congress is, and the states are going to do something about it, or they're not. But to simply say, like, oh, we just sell them off and allow somebody else to run them and get the revenue, it is a public resource. And this privatization is relentless. It's relentless. All right, we got to take a break, head into the fun half. Hey, just a reminder, this program relies on your private donations. But there's so many of you that, well, I mean, I guess if you, well, someone wants to really Bigfoot the other people in there, make this show completely about Hillary Clinton's Parkinson's disease. Maybe we could have a level of membership that we could add to, like, the Clinton conspiracy level. We sign up. What would be the number on that?
$10,000 a month.
$10,000 a month?
Yeah.
Let's call it
ludicrous.
Let's call it 12.
All right, 12.
$12,000 a month. And I'll produce at least one.
She's dying.
One a week.
There you go.
We'll buy a stethoscope for Sam to wear while he does these segments. Like a stethoscope and maybe like one of those medical hats.
Yeah, maybe we can get Bill Frist on every week to diagnose her from afar. He did so well with Terry Schiavo.
Where the hell did that guy go? What happened with that guy?
I'll tell you right now. I have no idea, but I'm gonna guess. Working for some type of lobby involving the healthcare industry. Maybe he's working for health insurance or a device maker or a hospital. You know what? I think his family already owned like a big hospital group. So that's probably what he's doing. Is anybody going to check on that, or are you just
looking? His website emphasizes that he's a keynote speaker.
Oh, all right, going out and keynoting. All right, folks, it's your support that makes the show possible. For pennies a day, unless you want to become a Clinton, what do you call it? Conspiracy theory member, which you got to email me because we haven't rigged that up yet. That you may actually have to pay in cash, in gold bullion, of course, because of the coming currency apocalypse. But it's pennies a day. You can join at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Also, if you buy crap from Amazon or you buy it from jet.com, click on our link at majorityreportkickback.com, bookmark it, use that as your link, as your gateway. You will notice no difference whatsoever, but we will get a little kickback. Going to take a quick break, be right back. 646-257-3920 is the number if you want to be part of the program.